Good morning, everyone, and happy Easter to you on this Resurrection Sunday. There's an old Christian saying for Resurrection Sunday that we want you to say today. I'm going to say he is risen, and you can respond by saying he is risen indeed. So he is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Praise the Lord. And I want to thank all of you who stopped by the church yesterday to put flowers on the cross. And you can see it to my left here, to your right. It looks beautiful today. And this is another example of how we are apart yet together. So thank you to all of you who came by to remember Christ and his sacrifice. And today we celebrate his resurrection. So let us join together as we worship the risen King.
Good morning. It's great to be in church here. Why don't you sing along with us? You can either sit or stand and join with us together as we sing.
Smile at his feet, he has done greatly.
very special kids time today, and so I hope you enjoy it. And this is our kids talking about Easter here at Sturgeon Valley.
Jesus died on the cross and rose again.
Easter's about Jesus taking all of our sins away.
Easter story is about when Jesus went into Jerusalem on a donkey and then dying on a cross.
Cross. Died on a cross. Died on a cross. Died on a cross. Died on a cross.
Because it's Easter day and it's someone's Easter birthday.
Because the Easter bunny brings us stuff.
Because Jesus died on the cross and took our sins.
We celebrate Easter to remember that Jesus sacrificed himself to save us from our sin.
To remember Jesus.
Jesus had to die to forgive us from our sin.
Because for our sins.
Because for our sins.
To save our sins.
He had to die because God told him to, and if he didn't die on the cross, we would still sin though, but it would take away lots of our sin.
Tweet and pop.
Grape juice?
No.
Water and bread.
Red and
wine. You woke up and said, "Oh, I'm back alive in the sky."
After 3 days, the ground shook and lightning struck. What they've done.
He got buried. But she said it.
3 days later, he rose again.
Jesus was placed in a tomb, and after 3 days, he rose again.
What does the dead look like?
Yeah.
I don't know.
He is risen.
He is risen.
He is risen.
He is risen.
He has risen.
Good morning, everyone, and happy Easter. My name is Pastor Serge, and I'm here to lead us into prayer. So please join me from wherever you are this morning. Lord, we come together as your people to celebrate the greatest victory ever won in the history of humankind, a victory over death, over sin, over the forces of evil. And what appeared at first to be a defeat for the Son of God turned out to be a defeat from his enemy, the devil. We thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness while you walked on the face of this earth, resisting temptation and resisting any offer that was put before you to be unfaithful. We thank you for the greatest demonstration of love that you have provided through a blameless sacrifice, which was approved by the Father as the resurrection demonstrated. We thank you for the hope that we now have as a result of the resurrection, and that one day we will also partake in eternal life when you restore everything and establish your kingdom here on earth and eradicate all the power of darkness, sin, and death forever. As we now find ourselves in the midst of a battle of our own against COVID-19 nationally and internationally, we pray for your mercy in all of this, that somehow you will stop the spreading of this virus, that you will grant wisdom to our governments, authorities, and take for them to take proper action to minimize the spread of this virus. We also pray that you also use this pandemic for your greater glory and the greater good of humankind, bringing many to faith, bringing many into a life-giving relationship with you. As we battle, we also want to remember those who are sick and infected by this virus. We pray for their recovery as we speak now. We also remember those who lost their job, their income, as a result of this pandemic. We pray for your provisions to come to them. And for those who are separated and isolated and lonely more than ever before, we pray for your comfort and your consolation wherever they are right now, those in our midst and those in our city as well. We also want to remember those who are mourning in our midst and across the nation and who cannot gather to remember and celebrate the life of their loved one. We pray for comfort and peace for each of them. And we also remember those who are frontline workers putting their life at risk to care for others. We pray for protection for them. And those who are struggling with stress, anxiety as a result of uncertainty, as a result of fear, we pray that you will help them to overcome through the promises that you give us and the instructions that you give us in the New Testament. We pray that your Spirit will minister to them and help them find comfort in you. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
I could not climb. no claim on me. Then came the morning and sealed the promise. Your very body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the prey has no
So, what do you hope happens? I think for most of us, our hope is that this virus will lessen and we can get back to normal sooner rather than later. So that what? We can get back to the way our lives were before all of this happened, so that we can get back to work and school and schedules and recreation and vacation and going to the mall and to the park and whatever else we're missing during this time. I have to admit that that's what I hope, and that's what I think about a fair amount. I would like to get back to pursuing my own agenda, my own plans. But what if we can't? Or at least we can't for the foreseeable future. We are used to being people who can do what we want, when we want, where we want. But over the last while, we have learned how little control we actually have in some of the great big things, like the spread of a virus, like government decisions that restrict our movements, like the way that other people respond to this virus, whether or not they are practicing the things that need to be practiced to keep things safe, or like oil prices and the markets falling. So much is beyond our control. And we see more clearly how little control we have in light of what's been going on. So if our primary hope today is for things to get back to normal, and that's not what happens for a substantial period of time, are we left without hope today? As I approached Easter Sunday with all of this going on, I wondered, what does Jesus' resurrection have to say to us in such a time as this? And just to be clear, I am talking about the physical resurrection of Jesus. I'm not talking about something spiritual or an inspiring idea. I'm talking about Jesus' body coming down from the cross, being taken down and being buried in a tomb. And then 3 days later, that same bruised and beaten body being given life and being restored. What difference could Jesus' resurrection make in our lives right now in the midst of this pandemic? And the answer for each of us depends somewhat on our belief about Jesus' resurrection. If you don't believe that Jesus was resurrected physically, then his resurrection has no bearing on your life today and can make no difference, really. But if we do believe that Jesus was resurrected physically, then we can explore the possible impact on our lives today. But even those of us who say, I believe that Jesus was physically resurrected, need to examine the depths of our belief or whether we have let this fact actually permeate into our lives. And to help us do that, I want you to rewind 5 weeks when life was normal. Think back to that time. Did Jesus' resurrection make any difference in your life that week? Or did we pursue a life that primarily focused on earthly things? If we're honest, we can focus the vast majority of our lives on earthly pursuits. There was an old saying that once went around about Christians, or some Christians anyway, and it went like this. They're so heavenly minded that they're no earthly good, meaning they thought so much about the things of heaven and spiritual things that they did not become aware of the needs of people around them or the ways in which they could help others. Well, one commentator notes that today that saying needs to be reversed. Many Christians are so earthly minded that they're no heavenly good. Or we are so focused on the earthly pursuits in our lives that we seldom, if ever, think about spiritual things or think about the resurrection or our future resurrection. And it's not that earthly pursuits are wrong, but if we don't have an equal concern for spiritual things and our future hope and life with Christ, we can be out of balance. And there's another challenge for many of us who say we believe in the resurrection today. Many of us lived pretty good lives before this pandemic hit, and we still live pretty good lives. So if life here is so enjoyable, Jesus' resurrection might seem pretty irrelevant. We can begin to believe that we can create paradise on earth. And if we can, and we live like that, then why would we be concerned about going to paradise to be with Jesus and to one day be resurrected along with him when he returns, or with him when he returns? And we can live like this until tragedy strikes, or someone gets an incurable illness, or the Humboldt bus crash happens, or a worldwide pandemic hits, and we wonder if our lives will ever be normal again, or if coming out of this, we will recognize the lives that we have. So I think we have a unique opportunity this Easter Sunday to think about what the resurrection of Jesus has to say to us during this unusual time. And to do that, we're going to do three things today. First of all, I want to tell you the story of someone who did not believe in Jesus' resurrection. But upon meeting the risen Christ, his life was turned completely around, and he gave his life for Christ. Secondly, we're going to read a little of what he wrote about the resurrection and gain some insight into what the Bible itself teaches about the resurrection of Christ. And then thirdly, I want to give you several answers to the question, what does Jesus' resurrection say to us in such a time as this? So first of all, let's meet this person. He grew up in a devout Jewish family. He lived a good moral life. He would be well respected in the community. He got a really good education. He was smart. He was intelligent. He had great potential. He also paid his own way because he worked hard at his trade. So he had every mark that you would need to be considered a respectable person in the Jewish community. It's unlikely that he encountered Jesus prior to Jesus' crucifixion, but we know that he was alive and active in and around Jerusalem soon after the church was born. In fact, we meet him when a mob of Jews are stoning to death a Christian named Stephen. And while this is happening, this young man is guarding the cloaks of those who are doing the execution, and we are told he approved of what they were doing. And then as time went on, it seems he joined the movement against this new Christian sect. He viewed Christians and Christianity as a threat to society. So he became one of its number one persecutors. He would hunt down Christians, he would arrest them and bring them to the high priest. And he became so well known in this that the high priest would send him on arresting missions. And on one such a mission, on the way to a city north of Jerusalem called Damascus, he meets the resurrected Jesus. Jesus appears to him. Now, I know that if you don't believe in the resurrection, this itself seems pretty unbelievable. But remember, this guy was very intelligent and had great potential and was a great thinker, and he had to come to grips with what happened to him on that road. He was not easily manipulated. He was firm in his convictions. And so here is what he testifies as to what happened on that road. Jesus speaks and says, "Saul, Saul," which was this guy's Jewish name, "why do you persecute me?" And Saul, who became more known by his Greek name Paul, answered, "Who are you, Lord?" And Jesus answered, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do. And this encounter turned Paul's life upside down. He became convinced that Jesus truly was resurrected and that Jesus truly was God the Son. He joined the early Christians in Jerusalem. He spoke boldly and debated with some of his Jewish colleagues there to the point that they became so enraged that they wanted to kill him. And so he left and went way up to his hometown in Tarsus in modern-day Turkey. And there, it seems, he worked on his trade for about 10 years. But then God called him to spread the message of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection beyond the Jewish world. And he began traveling all over the region and planting churches. And then he began to write letters to encourage the new Christians who were part of these churches. And we have some of his letters preserved for us in the New Testament of the Bible. And in one of those letters, he talks about Jesus' resurrection. And he reminds a group of relatively new Christians about the importance of Jesus' resurrection. So if you have a Bible, I'm reading from 1 Corinthians 15, and this whole chapter is about resurrection, both Jesus' resurrection and our future resurrection. But I'm just going to read the first 10 verses today to give you a sense of what Paul said to early Christians who needed encouragement about their belief in the resurrection. So 1 Corinthians 15, starting in verse 1. Now, I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter, then to the 12, then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, and then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me as one untimely born. For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. So notice what he does in this passage. He first of all points them to historical facts. Christ died, Christ was buried, Christ was raised. Now those first two points, they're pretty solidly agreed upon by historians. Yes, Christ died. Yes, Christ was buried in a tomb that we know about called Joseph of Arimathea. But the third point is the point of dispute, even though historians mostly agree that Jesus' tomb was empty. The question is, why? So what does he do? He points to evidence. He points to eyewitness testimony. So Jesus appeared to Peter. Then he appeared to the 12. He appeared to 500 brothers at one time. And he says, many of whom are still with us. So that he was saying, if you know some of those brothers or those people that were there at that time, you can go talk to them. And you can ask, did you see Jesus risen? And they can answer. And then Jesus appeared to James, his half-brother, and to more people until he appeared to Paul himself. And then Paul moves from the history and the historical reality of the resurrection to his own personal testimony and says, I also received this appearance from Christ. And then he frames it in his own story, even though I was a persecutor of the church. And so we have this guy who was intelligent and wise and respected in his own community. And from that point of seeing the risen Christ, he would take incredible risks. He would be imprisoned multiple times. He says in 2 Corinthians 11:23 to 28, five times he received from the Jews 40 lashes less one. He suffered beatings. He was stoned. He was in danger. He was threatened. He experienced all of this incredible suffering. And the question for Paul and us today when it comes to Jesus' resurrection is, would Paul have persevered in going through all that stuff if he knew that the resurrection was a lie? Now, I know that some people can give their lives for something they believe to be true, but later turns out to be false. But would Paul give his life ultimately, because he was executed for this, for something he knew to be a lie? If it was me and I was living like this, I think the second time I was beaten 40 lashes less one by the Jews, I would say, you know what, that's enough. I'm sorry, I made a mistake, I got caught up in the emotion. That's not true at all, I'm going back to Judaism. But Paul endured all of this for a couple of reasons. Number one, because he believed this message had to go out to the world so that so many others could be saved. But the second reason I believe he endured all of this was because he was looking beyond this life to the hope of the next life with Christ and his own future resurrection. That enabled Paul and many other Christians throughout history to endure the hardships and the miseries that they went through in life because they looked forward to life with Christ and their future resurrection. So now, with Paul's story a bit in mind and with what he has written here about the resurrection, let's consider our own lives today. What difference does the resurrection of Jesus make for your and my life today in the midst of this pandemic? Well, here's a few answers to that question. Number one, it means that Jesus is alive and aware of all that we're going through. Jesus is alive right now, and he's watching your life. And he knows everything that you have gone through in these last 4 weeks. He knows what you're worried about. He knows what you're stressing out about. He knows the adjustments that you've had to make in your life. He knows exactly what's going on in our world. We do not follow a dead hero whose ideas we try to keep alive. We follow a risen Lord who is alive right now. Number two, the living Christ wants us to entrust our lives to him. Jesus desires for you and for me to entrust our lives to him. He wants us to come to him as King, Lord, Shepherd. He desires to lead, to care for us, but he will not force himself on us. He invites us to come to him and find soul rest. And so, in the midst of this pandemic, because Jesus is resurrected, you can find soul rest in him today. Number three, what else does Jesus' resurrection say to us today? If things get worse, the living Christ remains with us. Now think about, again, the first question we asked. What do you put your hope in today? Most of us put our hope in things getting back to normal. And so that's our hope. And if we get some news in that direction, our hopes go up and we get more excited. But then it doesn't return to normal. And things get worse. And so our hopes are dashed. But think about putting your hope in Christ. If things get worse, our hope is not threatened. He continues to be with us. And then number four, let's go to the worst case scenario. You or me or someone we love gets the virus. The living Christ is going to be with us as we journey through that illness. Or let's go even worse. Someone we love dies because of the virus. Well, if they know Christ, the living Christ is going to walk with them through the valley of the shadow of death into paradise. And if one of our loved one dies because of the virus, the living Christ is going to walk with us through that journey of grief. And if we die, the living Christ, and we know Christ, the living Christ is going to walk with us through the valley of the shadow of death into paradise until the day that we ourselves are resurrected. Number five, what difference does Jesus' resurrection make to our lives today? The resurrected Jesus will help us through whatever transitions we have to make coming out of this. Say that because of this pandemic, your life permanently changes. Maybe your family has to move because your former job is no longer available in this region. Well, Jesus is going to be with you. The living Christ will be with you through that transition. Maybe you have to change jobs because of all of this. The living Christ will be with you. Maybe there's some other major adjustment that is going to have to happen because of all this. Well, the living Christ is going to walk with us through each and every change and transition that we have to make. And then number six, the resurrection of Jesus says to us today that we can live as forgiven people. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, we are still in our sins. In fact, the Apostle Paul writes that later in that 1 Corinthians 15 chapter where he says, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. So, you know that nagging sense of guilt that we have when we do something wrong? And how some of us try to think, okay, I did some bad deeds. I'm going to try to do some good deeds. And if my good deeds outweigh my bad deeds, maybe I'll be okay. And that doesn't work anyway. Jesus paid for our sins with his blood on the cross. He substituted himself in our place so that we might receive forgiveness and reconciliation with God and look forward to life eternally with God, with Christ, until we ourselves are resurrected. But if Jesus was not resurrected, then he's a liar. And no liar can pay for other people's sins. Only a sinless substitute could do it. And Jesus alone fulfills that through his death and resurrection. So, quick review. What difference does Jesus' resurrection make for your and my life today? Number one, Jesus is alive and aware of all that we're going through. Number two, the living Christ desires you to entrust your life to him. Number three, if things get worse, the living Christ stays with us. Number four, if we or someone gets sick or dies from this virus, Jesus will walk with us through death's valley into paradise if we entrust our lives to him. Number five, if this pandemic permanently changes our lives, Jesus will walk with us through that transition. And number six, the risen Jesus enables us to live as forgiven people. Now, maybe you're watching today and you have never entrusted your life to Christ. Maybe the only reason you're watching today is because of this pandemic. You have nothing else to do. 5 weeks ago, you would not have dreamed of watching a church service on your computer or your phone or your TV at 10:45 on a Sunday morning. But here you are today, and now you have heard this. And maybe God has spoken to you that you need to move your hopes from things getting back to normal to the resurrected Lord. And if that is you, then I want to invite you to repeat this after me, or something like this. So I'm going to say this so you can repeat it, and it is a prayer to entrust your life to Christ. So it goes like this. Lord Jesus, I confess that up to now, I have lived my life apart from you. I have lived as if I was Lord. I have sinned against God. But now I see that I need you. I put my trust upon you, Jesus. I depend solely on the sacrifice you made in my place on the cross. So now I receive you, the resurrected Lord, into my life as Savior, King, and Shepherd. And if you did pray something like that right now, then out of this terrible and difficult time, you have received the greatest gift that you could ever receive. And that's what God does. He takes terrible and difficult things and brings something good out of them. And you have been given a great good today if you have received Christ into your life on this Resurrection Sunday. And for those of us who already know Christ, who have already believed that Jesus was resurrected and lives today, we need to make sure our hope is focused mostly on him as our resurrected Lord, not on things returning back to normal, though that will be good when that day comes, whatever normal looks like. And I pray that because of the resurrected Lord, you will be encouraged in whatever you're facing today. So we started by saying, what do you hope for? I hope things get back to normal. But I encourage you to hope in the resurrected Lord who will stay with us through whatever we face over these days ahead. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we can't comprehend fully, of course, what you went through in going to the cross, in enduring the punishment we deserved, and in dying. But you did that, and you persevered, and you rose the third day. And today, you are living, Lord Jesus. And by faith, we proclaim that as true. We thank you for the evidence that you have left, the eyewitness testimony that we have, both in the scriptures and from other people in our lives who have testified to you and your impact on them. And we pray that our hope will be in you, and that you will draw us back when we begin to hope in circumstances or begin to hope that things will go the way we want them to. Help us to hope in you, our resurrected Lord. We worship you, we adore you, we thank you that you are living, that you are aware of everything that's happening today. Be our strength, our hope, our future, we pray. Amen.